Darling, willkommen in meinem neuen magischen Geschenkuniversum mit legendären Kleinigkeiten, Kostbarkeiten und Schätzen. Von traumhaften Überraschungen bis zu himmlischen Geschenken. Es ist für all die Stars in deinem Leben etwas dabei. Lass zu Weihnachten deine Beauty-Wünsche wahr werden mit Charlotte Tilbury.
Hey everyone, Travis here. What you're going to hear today is a little different than what we normally do in this podcast feed. Chris and I are usually in the same call, talking about a specific song in Kanye's discography. But over on the YouTube channel, we open up a little bit. We'll do fun like lists, you know, rankings and stuff, analyze music videos, things like that. That sometimes those videos help to have a visual component to them, but they don't always, and we thought they'd be fun to post here in the podcast feed as well. So that's what you're hearing today. If you want to go watch the video with it, you can of course go do that, but we thought, why not give you all the content you can get on the podcast feed? Okay, thank you so much, and stay wavy.
Everybody want to know what I would do if I didn't win. I guess we'll never know.
So keep your love, I don't get enough of it. Jesus just rose again.
Listen to the kids.
Hey everyone, my name is Chris Lambert. On this channel, we talk Kanye West, and today we're going to be doing a visual analysis or thematic analysis of the Easy music video. A lot of people have been talking about it because of all the Pete Davidson stuff in it, but I wanted to kind of go through the full thing. We're not going to have the audio from the song just because of copyright stuff, but we're going to do just the visual breakdown, which can be really fun. Actually, if you watch movies with the sound off, you see a lot by just not listening to the movie. There's so much that you start to learn from just the actor's body language, the shot selection. It's a really cool thing. So sometimes, like, put on a movie that you really like already, turn the audio off, and just watch it on mute, and you'll have, a pretty cool experience. But today, we're going to go through that with the Easy music video. So we start with the burning house, right? Which recalls Listening Party 3 in Chicago, the Donda 2 concert where they had the house even more on fire. You get the church aspect with the cross on it, but the house, the Chicago house from Ye's childhood when they rebuilt it for Listening Party 3 had the cross on top of it. So it's not like just a generic church, but the addition to his childhood home. So we have that. And then you get like all the smoke pouring off the sides. And this is in that claymation, right? Like the flames aren't real flames. And you get kind of that like wafting stop motion smoke kind of coming through. So then we see a casket, which this is already, I think this music video skews heavily towards like Ye symbolism, which is interesting since this is on Game's like YouTube channel, right? This is a song for the Game's album. This is a Donda 2 song, but the music video is so Ye oriented. And even the song itself, like Ye has the longer verse on the song. It feels so much more like a Kanye song to me than a Game song. But you have the caskets, and you just have some beautiful visuals. Like whoever was directing, doing the cinematography did a great job in just making every scene like visually or aesthetically pleasing. Like regardless of how you feel about the video due to all the Pete stuff, I think it is just like a really great artistic work if you can kind of separate like the art from the context that the art was made in. But we have the casket opening, and it looks like a claymation person, right? Like I imagine it's Game, since this is Game's portion, and you go from the claymation version of Game rising out of the casket to the live version of the Game. Like this is no longer claymation. This is like real world, three-dimensional Game sitting on the caskets, which is kind of cool. I like the idea. It sets up this dynamic between fantasy and reality. Like the claymation very much puts us in this world of like cartoons, right? Something that's unreal, contrasting then with the very real shots of Game and Ye. And there's just some tension there between this idea of reality and fantasy, especially when you get to Ye's part, right, with Pete and the way in which he's able to fantastically take out the anger he's feeling towards Pete in this claymation way, like celebrity deathmatch kind of way, as opposed to like not really necessarily doing anything about it in reality, because in reality he's not going to go that far, but he can do so in a music video, which kind of gets at the difference between, and not saying this is the point of the video, but what you can start to extrapolate from something like this is just the differences in reality, right? Real world versus what you can do in the dramatization of fiction and art. You can kind of indulge in ways and have the fantastic world be a playground for how you're feeling. So, okay, we have Game just kind of rapping, doing his thing. Okay. Got the casket. Again, another just like eerie shot, the way that it kind of fades out. And then you go to the Game and it's like Eazy-E kind of figure in the car, right? Back to claymation, the palm trees jumping in this desert. They got the shovels. Looking down the hole. Again, another like great shot. And there is Ye. Yeah. And Ye's looking up. So they go and like essentially go to this desert and find Ye, right? So he comes out of a casket, gets into this car, goes to the desert, looks into this well, which gives me Dark Knight vibes, right? Dark Knight Rises vibes. And then Ye's just like hanging out in this well. and then they get him out of there. And we start going to the next thing. So already, like, with the Game rising up out of the casket, right? Ye coming out of the well. There's something to this idea of, like, getting back to Donda and the first song on Donda, jail, right? You're in jail, whether, like, physically, spiritually, emotionally, or, like, in this case, like, there's death. Like, jail is death or isolation. And both Game and Ye are kind of stepping out from their casket, from this, like, bondage. Okay. You get the cool like reflection in the eyes as the Game looks up, the long shadow, and now we get smoke and Ye's on the motorcycle driving through the desert. Now, people have pointed out this recalls the Bound 2 music video. If I was smart, I would have brought that up ahead of time. But in the Bound 2 music video, Ye's on the motorcycle with Kim, and they are actually riding this way, like towards the left side of the screen. And then in this music video, he's riding on this motorcycle by himself and he's riding to the right. It's almost like there's this bit of continuity, which either Ye put in, the director put in, or it's entirely coincidental. But you have this image that just like resonates so strongly with the Bound 2 music video that it seems like it has to be purposeful. But coming back the opposite direction from the way that he was going. So it's like, yeah, Kim and I went this way and now I'm coming back alone, which is just like kind of brutal. So you see, the motorcycle, then him by himself here. And this is where we get, I guess, is this supposed to be Pete? This doesn't really look like Pete to me. The other claymation figure does, but this one doesn't. This just kind of looks like a Dracula to me, but I guess it has to be Pete because we go from like the person that they take the bag off from later is Pete. Okay, so you go from Ye standing there to Pete just like minding his own business with a drink and a cigarette. They put the bag over him. Cigarette just flips into the air. And then here we get like real world Ye. So the same way that we went from claymation Game into real world Game, we go from claymation Ye to now like real world Ye. And this is probably the most menacing that he's ever been. And we're talking like the Monster music video where he's kind of like Louisiana gothic cool, wearing this broad brimmed hat and this tan suit that's unbuttoned and toothpick in his mouth, looking kind of like Interview with the Vampire Sheik. Here is just like, I am showing up at your front door at 3 a.m. and I am a terror. It's really scary, especially with the head, which people have made like a big deal out of, as they're saying like, oh my goodness, he has like Pete's head, this is a threat. I don't think it's a, I think Ye is acting out his like how angry he is about the situation. Just the fact that, you know, not just that his ex-wife is dating someone else now, right? But is dating someone who had publicly mocked Ye on Saturday Night Live, and then was friendly with Ye for a bit, was like hanging out with him, right? There's the photo of Pete at dinner with Ye and Timothy Chalamet. And then Pete had hung out with Ye and Kim as a couple. So there's always more complications when a relationship ends and you're the person that got dumped. Like already it's a bit harder to get over things. But then when the person that dumped you starts dating someone new, it's one thing if it's a complete random. You're just like, well, whatever. Maybe this new person's like more successful. Maybe they're not. You just kind of like write them off maybe because you don't know anything about them. But if they're dating somebody that you did know, like say your ex starts dating a coworker that they were always friendly with, you're like, man, this person, like I knew they were trying to get in there. Or they start dating somebody that's like closer to you, right? Like one of your coworkers or one of your mutual friends. Or what if they start dating your relative? Like your significant other breaks up with you, then starts dating your cousin, your sibling. Like there's a lot. The closer the person was to you when you were a couple, the more baggage that comes with that scenario. So I think if Pete had been a completely random person, I don't know if Ye would be taking it to the point that he is. But the fact that, like, you know, Pete did say all of that stuff on Saturday Night Live. It recently came out. I forget who said it. Was it Consequence? It was Consequence who said that when Ye was at Saturday Night Live after the show, Michael Che and Pete Davidson started yelling at Kanye in the hallway and like dressing him down. So it seems like there might be even some more things behind the scenes. And then, yeah, I can imagine there's just some frustrations with the guy. And because Kanye probably, I would assume, isn't going to do anything to Pete in real life, he's just kind of working it out through arts and these demonstrations through arts and kind of like raging, which is graphic. It's like arguably too far. I get why people are upset by this, but also I feel like it's better to do this than anything else. Like you work through your emotions and feelings in art, and sometimes that can be shocking. And in previous like years, decades, maybe not as big of a deal, but in the present day and age, this definitely goes a lot further. Especially, I get the concern too when you have people that are just like, yeah, there's some wild people out there. There were just like some wrestlers that I like that had to post like, hey, it's great that you're a fan, but don't come to our front door and knock just to say hi. Like that's such a breach of privacy. And that's really one of the things in this day and age that a lot of people are worried about. Like there was another wrestling thing. Yeah, I follow wrestling a lot. There was another wrestling thing where a fake account for this wrestler known as Seth Rollins was talking to this guy on like Twitter or Instagram and ended up convincing the guy that it was the real Seth Rollins and had the guy send him money. So it was a scam, and the guy got like $1,000 from this dude, and the dude blamed Seth for it because he was so convinced that it was actually Seth Rollins on the account that the dude went to WWE Raw, jumped the fence, and tackled Seth Rollins on live TV. Like national television, live TV, tackles Seth, attacks him, all because he thought that it was actually Seth who asked him for money when that wasn't the case at all. And even in the aftermath of being arrested, bailed out, like people telling him it wasn't really Seth after he posted the messages, still thinks it's Seth. So I get the fear too that Ye dredging up all of this anti-Pete antagonism could lead to somebody being like, I'm going to do this for Ye. I'm going to attack Pete or do something even worse. It's scary, right? And like, I get why Kim and Pete and others are just like, hey, this is probably too far, because in this globalized world that we're in, like we're still kind of learning the rules of everything and like safety procedures of everything. So I get really torn between just admiring the art and working through the notion of an artist working through their emotions through art, and this idea of like, well, where we're at in modern society, you know, what risks are there in that? What dangers are there in that? Which is really like a weird place to be in, because on the one hand, you want to have this ideal that like artists should be free to explore, like to be daring, to take risks, to transgress, like we shouldn't be limiting. And then on the other hand, the idea of like responsibility and awareness of society. It's kind of the same thing that like John Legend was saying to Ye when Ye put on the red hat, right? He was just like, hey, as celebrities, we have a responsibility to be careful with the things that we say. And Ye's just like, I'm going to say the things that I want to say. Like, I'm not responsible to people. Like, my responsibility is to my truth and being a voice and like inspiring people. So I think it's complicated. I get both sides of the argument, which probably isn't satisfying to a lot of people just to hear me be like, I get both. But I do. And I don't really know where I stand on this topic at this moment, in case you cared. I mean, I get it. Like, I would hope that Ye's in a place where he feels like he can move on from focusing on Pete, because I don't think this kind of thing is going to necessarily accomplish what he wants to accomplish if his goal was still to win Kim back, right? So then at that point, and then he might argue, well, it's helping me feel better, which, yeah, okay, yeah. All right, so we have him holding the head, which the head I don't think looks like Pete at all. It's just like holding a random head. You can see the X on the ground too, from where I think it was like Ye's mark back here. Like, that's where he was standing. And then he moves forward. And I don't know what he's standing on here. But we go back to, what is this? The quad? Yeah, which kind of makes me think of Wyoming. And there's that photo of like the ambulance on the property and then Ye just riding off on the four wheeler. And four wheeler, you get Pete tied up on the back, driving through. And again, like, cinematography, great. If you can move past all of the, like, separate the art and the situation. And then here, oh, I guess he's standing in the flowers, like the bed of flowers. Is that what it is? Okay. And then here, the boots, the sand, dragging. You know, this reminds me in a lot of ways of the Flashing Lights music video too, which in that music video you have like the car in the desert, the woman walking up to the trunk, and then eventually the reveal that it's Ye in the trunk, and then she takes the shovel and hits him. I was recently listening to the Bret Easton Ellis interview with Ye from 2013 on the Bret Easton Ellis podcast. He's the dude that wrote American Psycho, didn't direct the movie, but the movie's based on his book. And in that interview, he said, like, yay, your music videos are like movies. Oh, he did say yay, he said Kanye, but which one's your favorite? And Kanye said the Flashing Lights music video was his favorite. And this gives me some like vibes of that, except instead of Ye being the victim this time, it's Skeet here. So you get the rose seeds into the palm, dumped on the head, which just like, again, if we are separating art from the situation, there's just something so funny to me about how the seeds are dropped and just bounce off of dude's head and a little finger like wiggle. Like, whoever did the claymation did a fantastic job. Okay, so then we go back to reality. And again, this is what I was talking about like reality and fantasy. It's like you have Ye sitting here with this fake head in reality, and it keeps cutting back to essentially what this fantasy is that he's having of like, yeah, I'm going to take him out to the desert. I'm going to bury him. I'm going to plant roses all around him, which is euphemistic because I actually don't want to show what I want to do. And then we get, this is cool too. You have the little bit of graphic depth or depth matching. So this is in the foreground, right? The light's in the foreground. You have Ye in the midground between the light and the background. And then in the background, you have whatever this like light source is. And so you have this like foreground smaller ring, and my power just flickered, and then this background larger ring. So I don't know, just like one of those little things that it doesn't necessarily mean much, but it's just a cool visual element that even if you don't recognize, like, oh, there's a smaller one and there's a bigger one, it just adds kind of this like layering and depth to a shot that I think is like shows a higher level of visual approach to what's going on. Just how do I make this look cool? So then we get the Numinati jackets here with the game and I guess a bunch of other people. I don't even know if it's the game, but you have a bunch of people wearing the Numinati. And I imagine, I didn't look up, actually we have this. Do they mention it in the, okay, this, that Numinati. What is this? In relation to the previous line, I know the Illuminati mad. Yeah, I figured there was just like, there's the Illuminati and now we're the Numinati. Like the new Illuminati is us and it's kind of like redefining it. So it's like, I know Illuminati mad, this, that Numinati. So like, yeah, they're the old guard, we're the new guard, they're the old school, we're the new school, we're the ones that are going to be running the world is just what I imagine that means. Saying that he's moved on from the Illuminati. In his moving on from Kim Kardashian, who's won over the previous queen, he is on to someone and something new. American socialite and model, hence the play on the words Numinati. I mean, I don't think that's... I think it's like, am I new bitch bad? I know Illuminati mad. This, that Numinati. This, that Tubigati. I think it's just like, we're the new Illuminati. I think that's what it is. Jesus. Yeah, I don't... I don't think any of this is applicable. Okay. And then we get the watering can and the water splashing. So like, you kind of have like a rule of threes. You have the seeds dropped and now you have the water dropped and you expect something else to happen. But the water is like cool, just like the splashing coming down. And then we have Ye standing there again. And then the focus on the head, which is like creepy, right? Especially that shot, that close up is very creepy. And then spiraling around. I don't know if there's anything really to that aside from just like being unique. And we go, you kind of have this nice, you kind of have this nice jump, right? That it's like spinning around and you kind of get the sense that there's like a circular, you can't see my finger, that there's like kind of a circle here that he's spinning around. And you go from this like circle that was implied, like going around, to the actual headlamp. Like it zooms out to the headlamp. And then once again, you have that depth of the headlamp in the foreground. And then this like spotlight in the background with Ye in the midground. And then the wheel and the wheels going around. So you're getting like these little visual continuity that's kind of connecting some of the elements from like cut to cut to cut. So now the claymation figure spinning. And then we get Pete with all the roses. So you get the mound. The roses grew out of Pete essentially. Which is dark, very, very, very dark. And then Ye has the shears twirling them around, which is again, like you have this spinning motif, right? It's Ye spinning. It's the motorcycle wheel spinning. Now you have the shears that are spinning. The camera's been spinning. And now he trims the flowers, which again, like one of those things, if you're caught up in like the drama of everything, it's just like, oh my goodness, like the implications of this. But if you're just looking at the visual art of it, it's like a very striking, like, I think this is very pretty as just like art, right? Like ignore the context, like just the idea of like the visual of this person that's like in a desert who's masked up and then somebody without a mask. So you get this continuity between like the masked head and the unmasked head, the head attached to the body, the head in the ground, the flowers coming out and somebody pruning the flowers. It's just like very macabre, very gothic, but cool. But then, yes, the implications of it are intense if you're looking at the implications of it. But I still don't think of this as like a literal threat, rather just Ye working through the anger he's feeling at this situation and putting it into art. Right. And then you have the the lights going, which pays off on the motif, right? We pointed out again and again, like the headlight, the circular light in the background, and now you have the light coming through in the kind of like oval shape of the eyes. So you're getting like a little bit of a graphic match there as well. And then that white that's part of the eyes, right, goes to the white background that you're now getting. Boom, there. Nice. And then the truck full of flowers, which Ye did do that, right? On Valentine's Day, he dropped off all of these flowers and said, my vision is crystal clear on the truck. And they were delivered to Kim's house. And I don't know what she did with them. I'm guessing like threw them out or just sent them back. But yay, I wonder how long they've been working on this video. Like, did he do that like purely out of goodwill and then in the aftermath decided to incorporate it into this music video? Which it's been, that was on Valentine's Day. So it's been 14, like 17 days, less than 3 weeks since that. And that's a lot of claymation to do in 3 weeks. Or did they already have this idea of the roses growing from Pete's head and him doing that? And he just like sent the truck as a joke, knowing that this music video is going to come out and be like, hey, wait a second, which is like connecting the reality in the fiction, right? In a very strange way. It's one of those things again, where me just like separating everything, I'm like, huh, how interesting, like performance art kind of thing, like bringing something from a music video into the world. But then, yes, I do understand from the idea of sending that to Kim after all the Instagram posts and tweets, that's exhausting. That's, I get why people are upset by that and being like, it's not cool. I understand. Everyone lived happily ever after, circles happily. Which also puts it kind of firmly in this idea of like fairy tale, right? Because everyone lived happily ever after is something that you hear in a lot of like fairy tales, nursery rhymes, these exaggerated things that aren't based in reality. Except Skeets crossed out, you know who, and you get this eye up at the top, which the eye usually represents the Illuminati, which in this case would represent the Numenati. So it's like the Numenati's watching, and you could maybe apply that to like watching Pete. And then JK, he's fine, with the underline being unfine. I don't know what this is. I don't know if this is supposed to be like, I have no idea what this is. is it like string and this is like hair? Is it just like string? Like, is it an ornament? Is it obvious and I'm missing it? I don't know what it is, but I guess that does it for this video. Hopefully you enjoyed some of the discussion and visual analysis. Until next time, stay wavy and keep it loopy. Cheers. And they ask me, I tell them, Mr. Rockefeller, raise your glasses to the sky. Yeah. This is the last call for alcohol.
Persil sorgt schon seit 1907 für tiefenreine Wäsche, auch bei den Johnsons, oder Anna?
Das stimmt. Sogar meine Oma hat schon mit Persil gewaschen.
Und als Dankeschön für über 100 Jahre Vertrauen gibt's jetzt bis zu 15 Euro Rabatt auf unser Bestes.
Das mit der roten Schleife.
Genau, made in Germany. Mehr Infos auf unserbestes.persil.de.
Wenn es tiefenrein ist, ist es Persil. Unser Bestes.